Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ryan Ripkin, Fridays noon till 2 with Bob Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Yeah, I think it was just a combination of us not doing our job, man. So we got to play better. We got to coach better. It wasn't one particular person, one particular group. It was guys just who were misstep or slow step in certain areas on certain plays. And when you go against a good team, and especially good running backs like that, good offensive line, they're going to make you pay. And they did that.
Zach Orr, Ravens defensive coordinator, yesterday meeting with the media and explaining to the masses there what the hell was going on against the Lions. And quite frankly, two of the three games, what's been going on with his side of the ball. And stating the obvious, got to play better, got to coach better, got to tackle better. But maybe one of the bigger issues was the inability to adjust. Second half, Ravens did a good job neutralizing the Lions' run game in the first half, for the most part. Second half couldn't stop. And it was David Montgomery just had a monster game. They rushed for four touchdowns. Jared Goff, he was throwing the ball, didn't need to throw it a ton, but when he did throw it, it was with great success. So now the question is, how do you coach better? How do you play better? Do you need John Harbaugh to get in there and start throwing stuff around? Does Chuck Pagano need to be more hands-on? Keep in mind, he's the secondary coach. He's not the co-defensive coordinator. So would he be stepping on toes, if you will, if he started to take on more of a role? Would it be at the behest of Zach Orr, or would it be at the behest of, you know, of John Harbaugh if Pagano becomes a little more? And I don't know what his involvement is, quite frankly, on week. And if we're lying, if we kind of think that we do, but we know he's had success as a coordinator, as a head coach, took the Colts to the playoffs with a rookie quarterback. Let's not forget that. So I don't know. I mean, coach better, play better. We get it. I mean, sounds great. Now you just wait for it to actually happen on the field.
When it comes to Pagano, I'm actually questioning his involvement across the board, because remember last year they brought in Dean Pees, but that was midseason. You know, he's coming off the couch, makes an instant impact, and thank God he did, but he wasn't involved with the team all summer. Pagano was. He's been here through the way this team has been built up.
Yeah.
I mean, and they're calling him a secondary coach. That's part of the title. But we all know why he was brought in. He's the older, wise, sage, veteran coach to be essentially the same thing that Dean Pees was. You can call him the secondary coach. He can also do that. That's fine. But we all know why he was hired. He's been here the entire time. And these same results that we saw last year are popping up again. I'm questioning what exactly he's brought to the table. So for all the people saying, oh, just turn the responsibility over to Pagano, I think he's at fault here as well for what we're seeing through 3 weeks.
Yeah, and this was supposed to be the best secondary in the National Football League based on personnel. They have four first-round draft picks as their starters. Real quick, Ronnie Stanley back at practice today. This is Gianna Hahn from the Baltimore Banner working on the side. Van Noy was there as well. That's huge. But no Ricard, Matabike, Harbaugh said a couple of days ago, that's a non-happener. Roderick Washington in practice again today as well. Travis Jones came back yesterday. Before we get to the phones, get your predictions for the game. Ravens and Chiefs, Ravens 2.5-point favorites. Ryan Ripken is back, ripping it with Ryan Ryan, what's going on over there? You're looking very, you got flowered shirts on and hats and stuff. How you feeling over there?
I guess I got a whole new look. I got some new jewelry on now, too,
Bob.
Yeah,
I saw that. Congratulations.
Thank you. For those that didn't know, got married this past week, so I apologize, no one, for leaving you hanging, Bob. I'm used to it, you know, but I appreciate it. It's great to be back. Ravens, Chiefs, I still can't believe that one of these teams is going to be 1-3. That's for a whole different conversation.
And the Ravens are 2.5-point favorites in said game. But the talking point, and obviously we'll get to the Orioles' final three games.
Yeah.
I think they're taking 2 out of 3 in the Bronx. We'll get to that in due time. But I mean, they got bullied, beat up by Detroit. And in game one, they blew the 15-point lead in the fourth quarter against Buffalo. But to get out-physical by Detroit, and the Lions were out-physical by Green Bay in week one, kind of took it out on the Bears in week two, as we know. But, I mean, what's going on with this defense here? And as you would expect, Ryan, being around professional sports, being a professional athlete, somebody's got to take the heat. And right now, Zach Gore is taking a lot of it.
I mean, no doubt he's taking the brunt of it. But the reality is, when we want to point fingers at the coaching staff, that's the leadership of the team. You want to say they are the problem, but the guys got to go out there and play. And you've seen other players come out and say, we're not making plays. I think there's a combination of it. And actually, Bob, I had Marvin Lewis. And so if you're thinking
I've
heard of that guy. Oh, yeah, right, because he was the old Bengals coach. But if you want to go even further back, he was the Ravens defensive coordinator for arguably, I think in Baltimore, everyone would think that was the best defense of all time. And so I actually got clips of Marvin Lewis talking about struggles as a young defensive coordinator. So that might be a good thing to tie in here. But I think ultimately what we saw with the Ravens, or what they're continuing to try to find, is that they are banged up. They are lacking an identity. And then, to be honest, your big-time players need to make the big-time play on that Monday night game. Who made the big-time plays? It was Amon-Ra St. Brown twice against one of the Ravens' best in Marlon Humphrey. On the defensive side, Aiden Hutchinson really tied down for most of the game, but high-motor guy, what's he do? He forces the fumble. The Ravens' big-time players didn't make the play that they needed. The Lions were 7-11 on third, perfect on fourth down. You make one of those stops, it could be a way different game, but that's just how it went, and now that's why everyone's circling, going, what the heck's going on in Baltimore?
Let's get out to the phones, 410-583-1057. It's the number. Ripping it with Ryan, Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken, and Nolan McGraw will go to Baltimore. It's another Ryan. Ryan, thanks for holding. What's up?
Hey, gentlemen. How you doing? Happy Friday.
Yeah, happy man. Friday.
Ryan, congratulations on the wedding. You and your wife, hopefully, don't get on each other's nerves too much.
Now that's been going on for long before that, but we'll work on it. We'll work on it.
Before I get to the Orioles, my predictions for the Ravens game, I think the key to victory is going to be poised by the quarterback. That's what makes Patrick Mahomes so deadly, is he just stays calm in those late game situations. And if Lamar can do that, I think they're going to win. So that's my prediction, is the Ravens are going to win, but I'm not going to say it too much or too loud because I don't want to get my hopes up.
Gotcha.
As the season for the Orioles comes to the end, I think yesterday's game should be a kind of a teaser for next year. I think that looking back on this season, we can agree that this is not a bad team. I think we've had a lot of bad luck. And I think any fan that is extremely negative towards the players that we have returning, they obviously haven't been watching too much, because these guys are talented, and I'm excited for next year. Which is the bittersweet of the ending of the season, is that it's sad that it's over, that this thing that has taken 4 hours of every day for me for the past 6 months is coming to an end. But I get excited to look forward towards the future and hopefully future success with this young core.
All right, Ryan, thanks for the call. What do you think there, Ryan Ripken?
Yeah, well, I don't want to say the Ravens part too much out loud that they'll win. I hate that they're favored in Kansas City. But when it comes to the Orioles, then this isn't as bad of a team that the record indicates as far as talent-wise. Now, the famous quote, that, you know, we are who they thought they were, and, you know, your record speaks for itself. I'm blending quotes here, but the Orioles have the record that they have, Bob, because, yeah, injuries happen, but they didn't do the little things right. They were not good in situational baseball. And they got in such a hole early on that they couldn't be able to fight out of it and make a run down the stretch. That's what ended up happening, because you're going to have bad stretches. I mean, heck, the Guardians had a stretch during the season, Bob, where they lost, I think, 8 or 9 in a row. Now, I know what's happening with Detroit, but guess what? They still were in the hunt before then, stayed in the dance, and then went going. Once you get off to a rough start like that, you can't afford another losing skid. And the Orioles had one right after the All-Star All-Star break, right?
Trade deadline, yeah.
So, yes, I agree that this team, there is so much hope because there is so much young talent that is there. But the biggest thing is can these young guys take the step? Because it is going to go as far as this young core is going to take them. And hopefully you get some more pitching depth in the meantime.
And I'll just throw this stat out. Since game one of the doubleheader at Fenway, where Trevor Rogers started game two, they got sent to the minors. All right, whatever. Yeah, Oriole most valuable player. They're 59-50. But they were 19 games under 500. And to your point, the hole was just, there wasn't a ladder big enough to get you out of that thing. They're in the Bronx tonight. Have to take a 2 out of 3 from Tampa. We get Ryan's thoughts with Tony Manzolino. Does he have a realistic chance of becoming the manager? What the hell's the new general manager's responsibilities going to be? And who played their last home game at Oriole Park at Camden Yards yesterday as we head into what's going to be a very interesting and big...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know
why
it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Busy offseason for the Orioles, but your predictions for the Ravens and Chiefs will get Ryan's. Nolan's picking Kansas City. I'm going Homer with Baltimore. What do you think, everybody? But the Orioles could spoil their hope for winning the American League East. Now tied with Toronto. Blue Jays own the tiebreaker there. Then you got the Red Sox taking on the Tigers. One of those two teams might not even make the playoffs. So we'll get into all of that and more. But Ryan, let's get out to the phones. People want to do their predictions for the Ravens Chiefs. Ryan doesn't like the fact that the Ravens are favored. What Jesse Newell from The Athletic said, only the fifth time since Mahomes has been there, they've been underdogs at home. Let's go to Kevin in Ellicott City. Kevin, what's happening?
What's going on, Bob and Ryan? How y'all doing?
Going on,
doing
man.
Well.
Congratulations on your wedding, my brother.
That's awesome, I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, man. The Bob, if you don't mind, I'd like to give a shout out to my son Landon. It's his 16th birthday today.
Oh, happy birthday,
Landon! Happy birthday.
I just want to tell him I love him and I'm really proud of him.
Awesome.
But, Ravens. I think for me, it's real simple, and I told Nolan this. It's the first time in 30 years, and I got nauseous saying it, but the Chiefs have proven to win when it counts the most, far more than we have. And unfortunately, I think that the score is going to be 31 them, 28 us, Bob. I hate saying it. I'm about to puke, but
All right, Kevin, man. Have a great weekend. Happy birthday, Landon. Most of the predictions we've had so far today, Ryan, have Kansas City dropping at least 30 on this Ravens defense. Have things gotten that haywire against an offense in KC? Patrick Mahomes is their leading rusher. I know Worthy's coming back, but come on, man.
Well, the Kansas City winning the game, that's a realistic outcome.
No
here
doubt about
because
it.
Because just if you're going off of recency bias, what, Lamar Jackson, since he's been the quarterback of the Baltimore Ravens, they're 1-5 against Kansas City. The last time the Ravens have won in Kansas City was 2012, I believe. So it's a tough place to go win. Now, are the Chiefs' offense, is that the best unit we've seen over the years? Absolutely not. And I kind of, I don't see this game being a shootout. I don't. I think that the defense will rally. I think that Steve Spagnuolo and the Chiefs are going to have a pretty good game plan for the Ravens. And I wouldn't be surprised, Bob, if it's the first of 24 wins this game. But if they do give up 30, if the Ravens defense does give up another 30 spot, then all of these headlines and all these storylines are only going to get louder here. And then the road doesn't get any easier, especially when you look at who they have. I know Houston struggled. Good defense still. And then the Rams. I mean, I the Rams didn't have that blow up against the Eagles. You could argue they were the best team in football. So there's a lot of worry going to Kansas City.
Let's get back to the phones. Go to New Jersey. It's Mitch. Mitch, you're on with Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken, and Nolan McGraw.
How we doing, guys? Congratulations, Ryan.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Let it be a blessed and happy life sentence. George Costanza.
I appreciate that.
All right. I think it'll be a close game. First of all, who may have to schedule? Boy, they really have it out for Baltimore. Baltimore had an exciting, tough, but you don't want to see them go 1-3. I think the offensive line, both lines have to play better. Baltimore has a better secondary. I mean, Mahomes is the best quarterback. I know he makes everybody better. But, you know, Kelce has done a poor job getting another wide receiver, especially with the running game. He can't do everything every single game. I mean, I'm not a Kelce fan, but I was kind of disappointed they didn't do that. You know, I love these records, but they almost had three in a row, but they got to start all over. And I definitely want to see Philadelphia. But anyway, I've talked enough. Enjoy the weekend, and congratulations again.
All right. Thank you, Mitch. Did he make a prediction for the game? I got lost in all that, but anyways, concerned. I got that vibe. Talk about the Ravens' schedule. Makers didn't do them any favors.
No.
Well, how about old Chiefs here? They lose. They're 1-3. Then they go to Jacksonville, host Detroit, host the Ravens, Raiders rivalry game going back to the AFL days, host the Commanders. Then they go to Buffalo before the bye.
That's tough.
Yeah, it's tough.
I mean, the NFL is tough. Like, let's just put it out there. There's no quote-unquote easy game. Now, are some teams playing extremely poorly at times? Sure, but didn't everyone expect the Green Bay Packers to go to Cleveland and win that game handedly? Well, no, it didn't happen. Cleveland's defense is still pretty good. It was an ugly game, and Cleveland stole that one from Green Bay, which just the week before, everyone goes, this is the NFC frontrunner, right? But when you win your division, though, you're going to get slated for a tougher schedule as it is. And for Baltimore and Kansas City, that means you're facing the other division winners from last year. And a lot of those teams are still good. I would even argue for this game, Bob, that this one for the Chiefs of falling to 1-3 might be even more of a blow than the Ravens just because of how the division's shaping out. The Chargers already have the head-to-head and are undefeated, and right now they're going against a rookie quarterback in Jackson's Dart this week, so they could very well push to 4-0. The Ravens, I mean, look, 1-3 would be awful.
Terrible.
However, Jake Browning is quarterbacking the Bengals right now, and they have a tough matchup against Denver. The Browns are not playing extremely well, and yeah, the division's wide open in the AFC North compared to where I feel the West is run by the Chargers.
Let's get back to the phones. 410-583-1057 is the number. We go to Parkville. It's Chris. Chris, thanks for all what's happening here on this Featured Artist Friday. It's Jay-Z.
Gentlemen, happy Friday. Ryan, congrats on the marriage.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm learning what it's like to be married. Bob's giving me all the tips and advice here.
I don't take my advice.
There you go. There you go. For me, I think it's going to be like 35-28 Ravens. Kind of a game, but they need to three real quick points. They need to win at the point of attack, which they did not do last game. They need to be deliberate, you know, in doing that. The turnover battle, that's, you know, usually in there. And in-game adjustments, to me, the last game, that's another thing. I'm surprised they didn't bring in Justice Hill and the scat back and do, like, you know, sweep the line, let them run to daylight. That's the most natural progression from college to the pros, you know, the running back position in my mind, but that's my prediction. You guys have a great weekend.
All right, man. Thanks for the call. And you know, Chris thinks a lot of points could over under 48.5. So Chris thinks, like most of our callers so far, Ryan, that we're going to see some sort of offensive explosion. But he mentioned Justice Hill, and Vinny's been saying this week, because, you know, two games in a row, the Ravens rushed for less than 100 yards, which is not, especially with Derrick Henry. Where's Keith Mitchell? Let's go, man. A little burst in that thing.
And I know they're saying with Ali, you know, the special teams is in his favor.
Right.
You know, and that I get that. And, right, you don't want to carry an extra running back. But you've seen if Keith Mitchell is healthy, he's a playmaking back if he has an opportunity. And I'm curious. I hope that the Ravens get back on track, run the football. But the Chiefs defense, this is a good defense, Bob. And I think that's why I'm sitting here. I think the Ravens can put up points with the best of any team. I just have a hard time seeing the Ravens go to Kansas City and put up 30 points. I just think that it's going to be a little bit more lower scoring, because I think that the game is going to dictate that there's going to be some stops. I think the Ravens defense will make some stops. But overall, the Ravens are going to have to be a little bit more unpredictable, especially going against probably the most experienced, the most feared defensive coordinator out there in Steve Spagnuolo.
When we come back, ripping it with Ryan, Rich Dubroff joining us live from New York. Orioles wrap up their regular season of 2025, first losing record since 2021. But maybe they can make life miserable for New York, as Trevor Rogers and Kyle Bradish will both pitch this weekend against the Yankees, who are trying to win the American League East. So stick around for that. Get back to your phone calls at 410-583-1057. American League East report coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. You got two divisions right now in dead heat heading into the final series.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
In the home finale yesterday, Dylan Beavers going flag court after Kobe Mayo hit a thing you could have hung laundry on to tie the game. But from Baltimore at baseball.com, he's on the Window Nation guest hotline. He's our friend and yours, Rich Dubroff. Rich, how you feeling?
I'm feeling great, Bob. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. It's Friday. Already got my booze situation straightened out. I'm going to put my TVs out on the deck because it's going to be 80 degrees. So I got my new Doritos. Anyway, last series of the year could spoil New York's possible AL East championship hopes. But as we wrap up the home portion of the schedule with a dramatic win, of the younger players and arbitration-eligible sort of guys, who may have played their last home game in an Orioles uniform yesterday, Rich?
Well, I think the answer is pretty obvious, and that would be Ryan Mountcastle. I think there's a good chance that he played his last game there yesterday, and he acknowledged it. You know, they have a big log jam at first with, Kobe Mayo and Samuel Basayo, both penciled in there for next year. Mountcastle hasn't been playing a lot at first since he came back and hasn't hit great, but I think that there may not be any room on the club for Mountcastle next year.
Oh, that'd be a sad one, Rich, just for me, with knowing Mountie for a while, but that's the name of the game. That's the business. You got to make decisions. Right now, as this is wrapping up, you know, and we're kind of looking back, or maybe we can look at this, I would like to say second half, you know, because that first half, it was rough. But if you were to take some really positives in your mind going into 2026, we can say, oh, some young guys played well. And maybe we take out Trevor Rogers because that was like the story. But is there anything that you've watched that gives you a lot of optimism for this Orioles team going into 26?
Well, I would say Kyle Bradish's recovery. Mm-hmm. I think Kyle Bradish, you know, has pitched well since he's come back. I think that's a positive. I think Tyler Wells has pitched pretty well since he's come back. That's a positive. Dylan Beavers, of course, has hit pretty well since he's come up. So I think there are some positives, and certainly a lot of questions, Orion. I think the biggest question is the bullpen. Mm-hmm. You know, they absolutely need a new closer. How many of these eight guys that are currently in the bullpen are going to be there next year? Maybe a couple. So there's still a lot of holes on this team. You know, obviously also another starter or two is needed, and more outfielders. So a big shopping list for Mike Elias this offseason.
Yeah, and definitely, I'm not going to say it's a make or break for any situation, but the expectations for the fan base and for the team is that they expect to be right back in this hunt of looking up and fighting for the AL East. As I'm looking up right now, that, you know, the Blue Jays and Yankees have a chance to win the AL East, and I know that is that's bothersome to a lot of people here in Baltimore. But you mentioned there on the bullpen, but let's go to that starter's pitching side for 1 second. I think safe to say, if we're going to pencil in some guys right now for next year, I think we got Trevor Rogers, a healthy Kyle Bradish, and Dean Kramer. And the reason why I'm not saying anybody else, Rich, is I'm curious what they will do with Tyler Wells. You know, I'm sitting there wondering, are they going to let him start? Are they going to put him in the bullpen? I don't think there's anybody else that you can factor right in there. I don't think Cade Povich, for instance, Rich, did enough to feel that he earned the spot going into next year. Are you kind of aligned with me on that, that there still are so many opportunities that are out there that some of the guys, unfortunately, didn't seize them?
Yeah, right you are, Ryan. I think when you're talking about Povich, you look at just yesterday in a game that really didn't mean a lot against an opponent that's on the same level as they are. He didn't pitch very well at all, and you know he had the opportunities to pitch well. He's pitched well a few times. I think certainly you hang on to him, and you know he's there for depth, but I wouldn't want to put him in as a pencil him in as a rotation guy right now. I think that, you know, we don't know also what's going to happen with Grayson Rodriguez. Mm-hmm. But let's take the best case scenario right now and say that you have Bradish and Rogers and they decide to put Wells in there. And of course they could put him in the bullpen, and you have Rogers and you have Kramer. Well, that's a decent five. Mm-hmm. And I think that they're really going to go out and try and get, a good starter or two. Maybe not exactly what the fans want, but, you know, somebody who is on the level, let's say, of Nathan Eovaldi, what he was last year in the free agent market. You know, a sort of a mid or a higher mid-range starter. And if they can do that, then I think that's good. And then you start working on the bullpen.
Yep, I think you'll be curious to see what there's going to be a list of pitchers that are going to be available this offseason. But why don't we finish with the offensive side, at least for my questions here, Rich. You mentioned outfielders, and there is kind of wondering who's going to be that guy. Is the utility guy going to be Jeremiah Jackson? In your mind right now, Tyler O'Neill is probably going to opt in, because why wouldn't he opt in with his contract, right? So, I mean, what do you think, if we're looking at all of that the Orioles would need to bring in? Because the one conversation I've heard is bringing in a veteran type of bat. And I'm not saying an everyday guy, but a guy that can fit in and help this young group lead. Are you think that's enough, or do you think they got to go out and get a proven player to come in and really set the tone for still a very young and talented nucleus?
No, I think that they need somebody of a higher quality. And I think also they need to show the fans that they're going to spend money.
Mm-hmm.
Attendance was off 21% this year, and that's coming off two playoff years. And, you know, there's a lot of controversy now about, you know, about a lot of the season ticket plans and changing locations and, you know, raising prices and putting people into different, putting people in, you know, making them spend more money. So I think that they need to show the fans that they're doing something. And I think a bigger name, you know, somebody who can really, you know, really set the tone. And they need a veteran. I mean, because the guy you're describing, Ryan, they just traded. And that's Ramon Laureano. Mm-hmm. He would be a guy. But I think, you know, I mean, he was really good for the Orioles and for the Padres. But I think they need somebody on a little higher level than that, if possible. I mean, that I can't see that they're going to go out and spend money, spend crazy money for Kyle Tucker. But, you know, I think that they're, I think that they need to try and try and get something, maybe with a trade. You know, they got an awful lot of guys in the, they got an awful lot of young players back from all those players that they traded in at the trade deadline, and maybe use some of that capital to see what, to see if they can get somebody, you know, to lead. I mean, they really do need a clubhouse leader. There's no, you know, there's no Ryan O'Hearn. There's no James McCann right now. There's no Kyle Gibson. So they need, I think, a proven veteran there to, sort of rally the troops and get the clubhouse behind them.
Rich Dubrow, BaltimoreBaseball.com. Rich, what's happening on the website as the Orioles wrap up the regular season and we get ready for a busy offseason here?
Well, we'll be covering that busy offseason here in New York for the last three games, and then we'll be chronicling what happens on Monday when Mike Elias talks and see who's going to be the manager and see who might be the general manager alongside Elias. So lots of intrigue, and it all starts now.
Well, Rich, enjoy the Bronx as the Orioles take 2 out of 3 from the Yankees. You heard it here first. That's it.
All right. Thanks for a great season, Bob. And it's always great to talk to Ryan. And I haven't had a chance to talk to him since his brilliant first pitch, which I got to witness close up.
So I'm sorry, Rich. That was disappointing. That was, you know what? You and I are going to go out to the field one day, and you got to get me ready for 2026.
Ryan, if you need me to get you ready for 2026, things are in pretty dire shape.
All right, Rich. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Rich.
Okay, thanks, guys.
There's Rich Dubrow, BaltimoreBaseball.com in New York with the Orioles' final series of the year against the Yankees, who right now are tied with Toronto for first in the AL East. We'll come back, take more of your phone calls, 410-583-1057. We'll talk about the Orioles. By the way, who the hell is going to be the center fielder in 2026? And we sold on Moo Man being that guy. And the Ravens predictions. Ravens are 2.5-point favorites at Kansas City, but yet most of the people who've checked in so far today are picking the Chiefs. Are you in line with that one? What's the general manager, whoever he is? What's his responsibility going to be? And who's the center fielder? You mentioned outfielder with Rich Dubroff. I mean, are you cool with Kowser being the everyday center fielder?
Am I answering that right now? Are you putting me on the spot right now?
No, it's a tease for the next hour. Ravens, they're laying 2.5 at Kansas City, but most of the people who have checked in today are picking the Chiefs. Let's get out to the phones, hear what the people have to say. Let's go get PT and Towson. PT, what's up?
Hey, guys. Chiefs are 10-0 last season at home. And they did lose one this season at home, but there's no way Baltimore should be betting money on the Ravens this week. Mike, I just can't believe they're a favorite there. But I want to talk to Ryan.
Well, who are you picking?
Oh, I'm picking the Chiefs. If I'm betting money on it, I can't believe you're taking Baltimore. You're going to get points at KC?
Yeah, didn't you give me Florida a couple weeks ago, Nate, when I'm getting blown out at home?
Bob, yeah. Come on, Duke. I recall that Duke bet you had.
Yeah, hey, that's right. Hey, I picked the Orioles at Bridge to get to the World Series, so duh.
All we got to hit is 60%.
That's right.
And I'm on Ole Miss this week, and I hope you invest as well. But I want to talk to Ryan about Alex Jackson and his sixth pick in the draft. and his AAA numbers are very impressive. And I hope you would agree, few organizations in baseball are as well thought of as Tampa Bay. And Tampa Bay was very invested in Alex Jackson, but he had a terrible 100-plus at bat. But I think he's an he's probably the best defensive catcher we've got. And his OPS is very impressive. Do you think he's the guy we're going to run with next year?
I think that if he comes back, which I think that he would, I think that the Orioles would really consider having three catchers on the roster. I think they want to find a way to keep their guys healthier. I think Sam Basayo is going to play more first. And if that's the case, then Adley then will have some DH days. So then why don't you have the option to have Alex Jackson? But I think the bigger part is we learned, just like anything, but specifically pitchers can get hurt. And then if pitchers aren't getting hurt, catchers take the most brunt of everything. And we saw how many catchers went down for Baltimore. So from a depth perspective, yeah, I think that Alex Jackson's going to be around and will be in the mix of it, because these guys that the Orioles have in their minor league system, they're coming up through the system, but they're not going to be ready. So I think, if I'm the Orioles, I'm holding on to Jackson, and I think that he will be somewhere in the equation, but he'll be third there. I want to emphasize that. He'll be the third guy.
Maybe what, 6-7 catchers used by the Orioles this year, which is incredible.
Unbelievable when you think about it.
Let's get back to the phones. Let's go to Detroit. It's Rashide. Rashide, what's up?
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Super Rashide. Super Rashide from Detroit.
Rashide, there's an H in there. Sorry about that.
Yeah, and there's a super in the beginning, too.
Oh, I didn't
see
that.
What up, though?
What's up, man?
What's happening, Baltimore, home of Tupac? Shout out to all of my inner city peoples, you know what I'm saying? With the All Eyes on Me Tupac. Get down with the get down, for sure, for sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, brother. Now, you guys said something about, I got a score to settle with both of you.
Well, go ahead.
You said something about annoying. I'm going to address that, but then I want to address about making my point about the wide receivers and what Lamar.
Well, hurry up, because we're coming up on the top of the hour. Super rest.
Yeah, I know you guys always want to rush the black guy from Detroit, don't you? Anyway, now, as I was saying, Lamar made my point. But as far as annoying, I dare you to go and say that to Stephen A's face and get back to me and let me know how that goes, talking about I'm annoying, just as annoying as Stephen A. Smith. Hey, man, me and him are prolific. You know what I'm saying? We're great. And I'm better than him in certain ways. Oh. But, yeah, say that to his face and let me know how that goes, fellas.
All right. Super Rashide. All right.
I can't believe I mixed up his name there.
You called him annoying, right?
Yes.
Because he compared himself to Stephen A. Smith. And he just said he was better. I dare you to tell him that you're better than him in certain ways and see how that works out for you. Super Rashide. His whole thing is, to his football point real quick before Nolan doubles down on him being annoying. He thinks the Ravens need another receiver, and he mentioned Davante Adams again. He's already with the Rams. He's not coming to Baltimore. But do they need another receiver, or would they be more inclined to get a pass rusher, which I think is much more significant need than another pass catcher right now? Because not everybody's eating at this time, because Lamar's only throwing it, 19, 20 times a game. But go ahead and get to him being annoying, because look,
we got a lot of problems here with the Ravens.
Yes.
Wide receivers has to be, if not at the bottom, it's bottom two, bottom three. I mean, I can't even begin to make that a talking point right now when we have this porous defense and a completely inept defense. We've got injuries out the wazoo, and we're talking about Davante Adams. Give me a break. Now, as far as Rashide, I apologize to the incredible Rashide. I apologize, and incredible. I can't believe I messed up that name. I should know that name. My uncle's name is Rashide.
Oh, nice.
Rashide, I don't know how I mixed that up.
Oh, cool. Well, I appreciate that. Nolan, manning up here just a little bit. While we come back, more of your phone calls at 410-583-1057. Your predictions for the Ravens and Chiefs. Ronnie Stanley's back at practice today. Kyle Van Noy is there, which is good news. But no matter BK And Broderick Washington hasn't practiced all week, which is kind of bad news. And for Matt BK, Ryan Ripken, as you know, his absence might be weeks long, not just missing a couple of games here. Orioles in New York taking on the Yankees. Got your AL East report coming up later in the hour as well. But get your predictions in. Pretty much what 90% of the people have called in. It just PT just doubled down on it. Have picked Kansas City. And I'm the imbecile for picking.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.